I'm glad you're here. And it's a good day to be here because we're starting a brand new teaching series, sermon series, entitled Life on Mission. Okay? You know, you could easily entitle this or subtitle this, you know, Living a Life That Matters, or Living a Life of Faith in God that Makes a Difference. And we're going to talk about this for the next few weeks, and I'm really excited about sharing this with you. I don't know if you noticed or not when you came in this morning. I'm sure you saw this printed somewhere, that we state our mission here at First Church, you know, to help people fall in love with Jesus, that we're helping people fall in love with Jesus. I don't know if you noticed, it was on the sign out here on the road as you pulled in this morning. It was above the door as you came in the back. Do you have a bulletin? Look at the very front of your bulletin. It's there. We talk about this in our class 101, that this is a slogan that we embrace here wholeheartedly. If you go downstairs in our children's area, big sign up on the wall even says, helping children fall in love with Jesus. I mean, we kind of state that this is why we're here, that our purpose is to bring honor and glory to God and enjoy Him forever. And our mission, in other words, how we're going to live our lives to carry out that purpose, or because that purpose is true, how we're going to live. We want to live our lives in such a way that helps people fall in love with Jesus. Now, let me tell you why that's important. It's important because it's not just about me. It's about Jesus and me. It's not just about me. It's about we. Faith is not just about your own personal faith, but it's about sharing that faith with others. It's not just about praying. It's about praying with other people. It's not just about being faithful. It's about being faithful together with God. And it's so important that we understand that when we read this, that we're all about helping people fall in love with Jesus. And the way that that's going to happen is for us to have a big faith, not a small faith. Now, think about this for a moment. If I were to ask you to put on a scale of 0 to 10, how big your faith is. You know, 0 being I don't have any faith at all. 10 being I'm as faithful. I'm faithful like Jesus was. You know, where would you be? Most of us would kind of put ourselves in the middle. You know, most of us would put ourselves, you know, maybe 5 or maybe 4, maybe 6, maybe 7. But none of us would probably say that we have the same kind of faith like Jesus did. I want to talk to you today about how living a life on mission is about really having faith in God. And the question is do you? Or is your faith a big faith, or is it a small faith? You know, is it a big faith like you know, that we are faith-filled, big thinking, bet the farm risk takers, never insulting God with small thinking or safe living kind of faith? Or is it something less than that? Now let me teach you from a passage of scripture that I really has energized my own heart this past week, and I hope it'll do the same for you. There's two instances in Jesus' ministry where he addresses big faith, small faith. And it's really interesting when you look at the context of when Jesus said these things. The first one actually is found in Mark chapter 6. Jesus is in his hometown. You know, this is a place where it says that, you know, that a prophet isn't welcome in his hometown, and Jesus was there in his hometown. And look at what it says in Mark 6 about the faith of the people that Jesus observed in his hometown. It says Jesus couldn't do any miracles there except laying his hands on a few sick people and healing them. And then it says this, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, I don't know if I can adequately or even, you know, teach you and convince you exactly what that verse means. I think it's amazing because in some way it says that Jesus' ability to do miracles was affected by the lack of the faith of the people that he was around. Now, personally, I think that any limitation Jesus had was a limitation that he put on himself. You know, the limitations of the people because they didn't understand who he was or accept who he was or appreciate who he was. But in some way here it says that Jesus wasn't able, didn't do all the miracles that he could do or maybe even wanted to do. And he says the reason was that he was amazed at the lack of the faith of the people. Now, the second passage comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9. We read there about a man, a centurion, who had someone close to him, a servant, who was dying. And it says that, now think about this, contrast this. In Jesus' hometown, Jesus was there. Not very many people were getting healed, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. But here, Jesus encounters this centurion who says that I need a miracle done. And guess what? I understand. My faith is so great. I know that you don't even have to be there for the miracle to happen. That all you need to do is to say the word, and my loved one will be healed. And Jesus said, I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel. Now, just think about that for a moment. Contrast those two situations. On the one hand, Jesus said that he was amazed at their lack of faith and what was not happening in their life because of that lack of faith. And on the other hand, he commends this person because of his great faith. And I ask you, what does Jesus see when he looks at you? Is Jesus amazed by your faith? Or what's he amazed of? Is he amazed at your lack of faith, or is he amazed at your great faith? You see, that's a question that as Christians, you and I need to ask and need to answer. Because in a lot of ways, the mission that God has called us on to help people fall in love with Jesus, guess what? The only way they're going to fall in love with Jesus is that if they see what a great thing God has done for you. If they experience God in your life, if they see God helping you, if they see Jesus living and bubbling up out of who you are and how you live. That's the only way that can happen. And our mission and living a life on mission means that we are going to be faithful people. It's so crucial for us to be able to answer this question. What is Jesus amazed by? Let me share with you here what I want to call important facts about faith. Not things that might be true, but things that are absolutely true. And as Christians, you and I need to know. Because Jesus was in his hometown and he taught people. And some of them were offended that this son of a carpenter would think so highly of himself. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. But yet another man who probably didn't have the same background as the other folks did had such great faith that Jesus commended his faith before his followers. You know, the first thing I want to make sure that you understand is that there is a word associated with faith, with New Testament faith, that you and I need to know, and that word is impossible. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're going to accomplish your goals, you're going to accomplish them with God. Matter of fact, if you can accomplish them without God, what happens is that shows your lack of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I think about this. I think about things like this, that there's an awful lot of people in our society and in our world, in our community, and probably some of us even here at this church. We don't have a big faith. We don't have a great faith. We don't have a life-changing mission because we don't have a life-changing faith. because we think that the faith that we have is enough. You know that? A lot of people, you know, okay, a scale of 0 to 10, how great is your faith? Well, my faith is a 4. But a lot of times we think that that's enough faith. Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Have you ever thought about this? There's a lot of times people, I think, because they're, you know, I don't have this feeling when I look in the mirror, but some people look in the mirror and they're just so good looking. They're so gorgeous that they have the world by the tail, right? I know some of you don't feel that, but some of you probably do, right? I mean, you just have so much going for you. You know, you have such a terrific education. You have such a good job. You don't have any worries financially in life. And a lot of times I think because we get to that point that we don't have the kind of big faith that God wants us to have because in a lot of ways we just don't think we need that kind of faith. And we deceive ourselves when we think that way. You know what, folks? If you aren't scared every now and then, you're not living by faith. I mean, think about it. You got this great story in the Bible of Jesus, or Peter walking on the water to Jesus. And then he began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus. And people then, and certainly a lot of people today, we've always criticized Peter because he sank. But he walked on water. He got out of the boat. A lot of times people don't even have a great enough faith that causes them to think that they can even get out of the boat, let alone actually try it. Folks, listen, never let the fear of failure talk you out of an act of faith. Never allow your fear of failure talk you out of an act of faith. You need faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, let me give you a second thing here that's really, really important. And this may not make sense at the beginning, but hopefully it'll become clear to you. As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. All right? I mean, as long as you have a guarantee, you'll have faith. A lot of times we don't attempt big things for God or big things in any way because we don't have a guarantee. And if we don't have a guarantee, we won't even attempt it. You know, for example, Have you ever wanted to ask a girl out, guys? And you're thinking, man, she's so gorgeous. She's so above me, way out of my pay grade. And you don't ever ask her out. Why? Because you're afraid she might say no. I lived that way for a long time with Arlene. No, just kidding. I didn't do that. But here's the thing. Somebody comes to you and they say, hey, that girl you've been wanting to go out with, she actually spoke to my sister and she said that she kind of likes you and hopes that you'd ask her out. What do? Right away you go and you ask her out. Why? Because you have this guarantee. You have this feeling that she will definitely say yes. You see, a lot of times we won't even attempt things unless we have a guarantee. Well, guess what? As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. Here's the point. You can either have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. You can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. A lot of times, because we seek control, it keeps us from having faith. And we worry about the things that are before us or the things that are in the future because we want to control it. We want to have control over it, and we don't really live by faith. Faith in God should give you a joy and assurance about living life, trying things, you know, reaching out, taking risk. Because you know that to live by faith, that's what it takes. That you can't have control and faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. A couple years ago, I had this young man visiting here at church. I don't remember who he was associated with. Somebody's grandchild or something. I'm out of town, good looking 14, 15 year old kid. He had this big bushy head of hair, kind of an afro. It was really standing up, and they came back and they introduced him to me in the back. And I said to this young boy, I got some bad news for you. And he said, "What's that?" And I said, "My hair used to look like yours." And right away he was like, you know, I could tell he, I don't know why I said it. It just jumped out, but it was true. Now that kid left here, and I'm thinking, you know what? He's going to worry himself sick about his hair. And he had such a good looking thick head of hair. He should worry. He shouldn't be that confident about things in life. You know, don't we live that way though? We either want control or we want to live by faith, but we can't have both. So if you're trying to live with total control of your life, never doing anything unless you have a guarantee, then in reality, what you have is, it's not faith. Let me give you another example. Several years ago, our family were on vacation, and Kristen and I were in line to ride a roller coaster. Fast roller coaster, you know, up and down and upside down, all this kind of thing. And we got close to the line, to the front of the line, almost our turn, and they shut it down. They said there was having a safety issue, a maintenance issue, and he said, "I don't think it'll be very long." So we just waited in line, and other people started dropping out of the line because they didn't want to wait, and all of a sudden, Kristen and I found ourselves in the very front of the line. And it took several minutes, a little while, and he said, "Okay, it's back open now." He said, and this I'll never forget. He said, "I think it's safe to go." And I looked at Kristen, and I'm like, "Honey, do we want to get on this? I'm not sure I want to get on a roller coaster that they think it's safe to ride. Maybe we need to go second. Okay, let's let them." And she's like, "No, Dad, let's go for it." And we did, and we survived. I was kind of glad. But isn't that the way we live, though? I mean, we like the exhilaration of life. We like the living on the edge, living by faith and not by sight. But do we really know what that means? Because if I don't have real faith, if what I have is a counterfeit kind of faith, it's impossible to please God without a real faith. And guess what? If I have to have a guarantee before I even seek out to be faithful, that's not faith. It's something else. So here's the point, folks. Whether we're taking a job or living on the edge with God, whether we're asking a girl out for a date or hoping a guy will ask us, if we have to have a guarantee that we will be successful, it's not really faith. But here's the third thing, folks, and this is so key, because the Bible gives us a case study that teaches us exactly what this kind of faith looks like, and it's all about Abraham. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith, Abraham, think about it, to take a step towards your destiny, what you have to do is step away from your security. To take a step toward the destiny that God has for you, you have to take a step away from your security. Hebrews chapter 11 says that by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. One of the most amazing passages in all the Bible. Think about this. Abraham had to leave what he knew for something that he didn't know. Abraham had to leave his security for insecurity. Abraham had to leave his life of ease for a life of uncertainty. But because he was called to do it by his faith, he did it. Just read that phrase and realize what it's saying, that when called to go to a place that he would later, not now, called to go to a place that later he would receive his inheritance, he obeyed and went. And what caused him to do that? What caused him to do that was his faith. Now, folks, listen, does your faith do that? A lot of times I think we don't necessarily have faith in God. We have faith through something else. But if your faith is through anything else other than your life with your Heavenly Father, it's not real faith. Because we have to have faith in God that causes us to live a life of faith every day. I think that's why people have a hard time sharing their faith. It's because there's these no guarantees. You're not sure that somebody will accept you. You're not sure that somebody will not ridicule you. I think a lot of times that's what keeps people from inviting folks to church. What if they say no? Or what if they say yes? Because we have to live by faith in God. I see this when you're talking about, I had a young lady say to me sometime back, she said, "Pastor John, I want to start giving to the church." I said, and by that she meant financially. She said, "You know, I'm married. My husband, he doesn't attend with me, and he kind of doesn't want me to give offerings to the church. But I really see the value in this, and I want to do this. And what do you think about that?" I said, "I'm for it. I think it's a great idea." You know, and she's asking questions about a tithe and all this, and I don't think I could do that. Well, just do something. How about, instead of saying 10%, which is a tithe, how about 2%? And next year go to 3%, the next year go to 5%, the next year go to 7%, and after 4 or 5 years, you're giving a tithe. You know, but what happens is our lack of faith, and because we don't have a guarantee, we don't do anything. But folks, listen to me. Without faith, we don't have very much. And because of our faith in God, we should always think big. That's what Abraham teaches us. Think about how foolish it is to think about God giving us a small commission. You know, we talk about the words that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 28, and we refer to it as the what? The Great Commission. Why is it great? Because it's big. It's audacious. It's a goal that we can't accomplish in and of ourselves. But yet a lot of times, I just think that we look at faith as being adequate, our small faith being enough. And how foolish does it sound to think that God gave us a small commission? We should not think small. We should think big. We should always think big. Think about this. I remember some years ago, a little lady here at the church, sweet person, I mean, loves the Lord, no doubt about it. She said something to me. She said, "You know, if we could get one or two more people," and then she mentioned somebody not by name. "You know, if we could get one or two more people like so-and-so," she said, I think that would be enough. That our church would be big enough." And you know, very lovingly, I tried to say to her, and I say to you guys today, if you ever think, you know what, the church is big enough, your faith is too small. Your faith is too small. When our faith causes us to think not about who's not in here yet, but just to think about those of us that are here and what we like and what we want and the style of whatever, you know, if we're only thinking about who we are and what we have, and what we have is good enough or big enough or our faith, you know, faithful, you know, we don't have a big enough faith. I've had the privilege of attending some really large churches in America and even around the world. And and some people talk about First Church, you know, that it's you know, a big church, and we're really not a big church, but for this area and this town, you know, I guess we have quite a number of people coming here. I mean, we had 1,200 people here for Christmas Eve, right here where you are, in the three services, we had 1,200, you know, but that's not really big. But listen, folks, I don't want you to see, you know, necessarily a number. I want you to look at your heart. If you ever think that this is big enough, then your faith is too small. Because God did not call us to a small commission. He gave us a great commission. And the great commission was to take his message, the gospel message, salvation message, to who? The entire world. We should never be satisfied with just one or two more, or one or 200 more, or one or 2,000 more. We should always be thinking about a big faith that steps out and does big things for God. So I ask you, do you have a life that's on mission? Do you understand how important faith is? I mean, can you hear Jesus look at one group and say, you know what, I'm amazed by their little faith. And instantly we should feel bad about that. We should feel indicted by that. We should feel terrible by our lack of belief and our lack of faith in God, that God would think such a thing about us. And then just think about Jesus in the presence of a stranger, a centurion, not even of the nation of his people, and that person having such great faith that he would say, you know what, I'm amazed by his faith. And I'm not amazed at how small it is, but I'm amazed at how big it is, how grand it is. And I'm telling you, folks, there's some of us here today that if we were totally honest, we'd have to say, you know what, Jesus is probably amazed at my little faith, how little I believe, how little I try to change significant things in my life, and how little I allow God to work in my life to benefit others. And then strive to be someone that when Jesus is amazed by anything, he's amazed by our great faith in him. Why? Because without that kind of faith, it's impossible to please him. And if we're trying to please him without that kind of faith, then we're fooling ourselves if we think that we are succeeding. I mean, if we're waiting on a guarantee, if we're waiting on a sure thing, if we're waiting on a bet that can't miss, then we don't even have faith. What we have is we're trying to control our life, and if we can't control our life, then what do we have? Well, we don't have faith. You can either have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. And then think about Abraham, who by faith went to a place that he was called to go to, even though there was nothing certain. But he had a certain God who loved him and who was leading him and who was going to make all things right in his own time. May we live a life on mission like that for our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we want to help people fall in love with Jesus. Lord, it's not only a slogan, but it should be our life's work. And may we never be satisfied with yesterday's victories or even today's complacency. But Father, may we always be eager to add those to our family, to our number, those that are being saved through your great power and might. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to understand how important having this kind of faith really is. And then, Lord, may we settle for nothing less than a great faith, an audacious faith,